Okay, we're on the top of page Kufchav, and we're continuing our discussion about the freshness of davening, and the newness of davening, and the chidush of davening. And now the first step is to realize that you will not find newness in any superficial aspects of this world, and the newness lies within the davening itself, and the newness lies within the ability to break through the barriers that exist between us and Hashem, and to get closer to Hashem. And every prayer affords us that opportunity to get closer to Hashem. So we continue this theme on page Kufchav. Tefillah mitoch chibur, lo mitoch nifrados, chas v'shalom. Prayer should be through combining things all into one, as opposed to things being all separated, God forbid. We'll see what that means. That which we are saying now, it negates a simple point. Shirabi Markisha Mitzvah, that people feel during davening. Viamitis, although this point we will discuss is a true point, of Voltorich Ladas Lihisalisman, we have to know how to go beyond that. In other words, what we're talking about gets to a much deeper aspect of prayer, and it negates what people think was, wow, this was made an amazing prayer, and it's really not that high of a level. What's he talking about? Gamorim shetviloso ena min hasof luchus. Let's talk about a person whose prayer is not just lip service. It's not just from the lips and beyond. It's a prayer you're thinking about. And after Vaharbe Pa'amim Hachidush Etzlo Hubinakudos Hahisoverus. And it's possible, and many times, the chidush, the freshness, the newness of this prayer lies in the point of its arousal, the excitement that comes out of your prayer, the inspiration of your prayer. You get an inspired prayer. And that inspiring prayer, say, wow, now that felt like it was a chiddush. That was a special prayer today. Pam hu mislahev bebracha zu. Sometimes you're excited, gets excited over this bracha. Pam bebracha achiris. Another time you get excited over another bracha. Vuhu shoev es nekudas achidush me osa his erushu mekabel v'chol tefilu tefilu mipasuk echa bebracha achas v'chudayim. And the person draws forth his point of freshness from that excitement, from that inspiration that he receives in every prayer, from this pasuk, from that bracha, from this thing. You know, you somebody's sick, and somebody close to you is sick, and you pray Refeinu with a lot of intensity, with feeling, and you're crying. Okay, that's it's inspiring, you know. And I said, "Wow, you know, that was a good tefillah." Or you know, you focus in on a certain prayer, and it moves you. So that's what people would settle on, and say that this was an inspiring prayer. This was a new prayer. It was a fresh prayer. This was different than the prayer I did yesterday. So now, how true is this? Vade shezel dover tov. Certainly, that's a good thing. And there's no doubt that an inspired prayer is definitely better than just something we're just reading the words with no inspiration. There's no question about it. That's a better level. But you need to know, but you got to know that the main focus of chidush, of newness and freshness, that has to lie between each prayer, who akirvas Hashem sharam chosh ke'omid lifne'anoch. It's that feeling that you are standing in front of Hashem and the closeness that develops from that. That's the real goal of prayer, which may not be so inspiring per se, in and of the uniqueness of it. And this recognition that you are standing before God has to be received by a person in each prayer day to day, stronger and stronger and stronger. Chush Yoser Borur, a sense that is clearer. Umemela Kil Yosav Yachush Yosadover, and therefore his innards, literally his kidneys, but his innards will sense this thing. Vu Yifol Al Kol Ramach Evor Vishlakidov, and it will impact and will manifest itself in all the body parts of the human being. This is the key of prayer. This is the newness of prayer. The ability to get closer to Hashem through every contact that you have with Him. Right? That's a challenge, but that is the newness. It is possible to get closer to Hashem by talking to Hashem more and more and more and more. And again, we go back to the marriage model. The marriage model is a similar model. You know, you have the same spouse, get up every morning, say good morning, say, you know, and you have spend time every day, certain amount of time, dinner, this. What are you really doing that's so new every day? Yeah, when you talk to your spouse, you're saying anything that's incredibly new? How did your day go? Oh, tough day at the office. That client was driving me crazy. You know, how are the kids? This and that. Think about it. Think of the discussions you have with your spouse from day to day to day to day. You know, is anyone more remarkably different than the other one in such an incredible way? Okay, you have your days. You have these really tough days. You know, the kid got thrown out of school, so you had to go to the principal, whatever. I had a flat tire. Okay, you know, but generally speaking, you know, it's pretty much quote unquote the same old stuff. So now, how does that relationship deepen? It deepens by that same old stuff. That's the whole point. It's when the two of you are together and talking and enjoying your company, and it's another day that you're together, another day that the relationship gets a little deeper, another day that you express yourself in front of your spouse and express your feelings in front of your spouse. That's another day you feel closer. That's all. That's how it works. As unexciting as we just described. But that's how it works. This closeness is not what we call excitement. All right? It's not meant to be exciting. Closeness and intimacy is not exciting. It's not the right word to use. It's deep. That's the word. And depth isn't exciting. You know? Now, there's cheap things in life that, I don't know, the casino's expression, you know, so-and-so, excitement, big time. That's the line. We deliver excitement, big time. Right? What do they offer you? Cheap thrills. That's what they call it, cheap thrills. You know, play the slots. That's excitement, big time. Right? So that's Narishkeit. So if that's your excitement, so, you know, talking to your spouse every day is not that exciting, so it's not going to really make it, right, if that's what you're looking for. But the chidush lies in the depth of being able to just be with the same person and share with that. Know you have the security that there's another person across the table who loves me, who cares about me more than anybody else, and I can tell them whatever I want. Tell them whatever I want. And even if it's the same thing, but it gets deeper every day. And that's the same thing over here. Every day that you are talking to Hashem, and just feel, and therefore you don't have to do incredibly difficult things. You just have to focus all the things that we've been talking about. Focus, visualize. There's HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of you. You're standing in front of Hashem, and He loves you, and He wants to hear what you have to say, and you're going to tell Him what you're going to say, and you feel that every day. I had that special appointment with Him 3 times a day. You just focused on the word. You just focus on the words and express them as a person who asks. Express it as a person who asks. And just simply, and it's no different than what you do at the kitchen table with your wife. It's no different. It's no different. And that's what does it. Now he's going to get a little further now. So an inspired prayer is nice. We're not saying it's bad and you should no longer pray out of inspiration. But that's not what you're looking for. Inspiration can just, remember what we learned early in the book, the difference between building and inspiring. The building comes from just focusing on the depths and the closeness of Hashem. That's where the building is going to be. That's where you're going to get closer to Hashem. Inspiration will not get you closer to Hashem. Inspiration will just motivate you to keep plugging at it. That's all. And yeah, you need to have an inspiring prayer from time to time. You don't need to, but it's helpful for some people from time to time. But you need not be inspired. If you're focused and you can get it done anyway, that's fine. People who have trouble being motivated to just work at it, okay, need some inspiration. But that's the deeper point. It's just to get closer to this. Now he's going to explain how that happens. One way it happens, as he continues, Hamatzbea shel tefila, the liturgy of the prayer service. Yudches habrachas b'miuchad. Now let's focus on the Shemona Esrei and the 18 blessings. Ubetochan yud beis habakashas, and inside that, in the middle, are the 12 specific requests. Zu nekuda. This is the point. Shemitzad echad yichol lekareves adam lekano mitzad hasheni chas v'shom lehepich. These 12 brachas, on the one hand, are able to bring the person closer to his Creator. But on the other hand, the very same brachas can do the opposite effect, God forbid. Why? Im adam shokeya b'slach lanu kipshuta, if a person is immersed in, let's say, the brach of slach lanu, Hashem, forgive us for the sins that we have done. Or, on the simple level, or b'rafeinu kipshuta, or b'barech aleinu kipshuta, etc., etc., or you focus on rafeinu, Hashem, you should heal us. Hashem, you should bless the year. So, what happened? If the person goes on the simple level and says, Hashem, you know, I did Averus, please forgive me for my Averus. Hashem, I'm not feeling so well, make me feel better. Hashem, the Parnassah is not doing good, help the Parnassah get better. But it's on the overly simple level. So what happens is, the danger lies, who machnis es atzmo liolam hanifradim. He is bringing himself into the world of separateness. Which means, who nasa shakua b'tzorchei haguf b'inyanei olam hazeh. He is immersing himself in the needs of the body, which is focused on the physical needs of this world. Ve'af alpi she'as oisem tzorchei guf hu mevakesh ma'kodesh baruch hu. Even though those needs, he's at least asking them from Hashem. Ve'esh nakan hiskashrus kol she'ilavarei. And there is some kind of connection to Hashem, because he's asking that from Hashem. Avsof kol sof, but at the end of the day, hu davuk b'tzorchei hagashmius. He is attached to his physical needs. In other words, what's he saying? When you use davening as a tool to get what you want in this physical world, and you know, it could very well be a person that is very much attached to this physical world and not very attached to God at all. But he knows that God's the one who supplies him with it. So you'll use your relationship with God to get you for what you really want. And what you really want is wealth, health, atonement, and those kinds of things. And that's what is most important to you. My first love is my money and my home and my health, and I'll use God as a means to get it, because he's the rich uncle who could supply it. And that's what he calls the Olam HaNifrad, the world of separateness, meaning to say, when you live in the physical, superficial world, there's always so many different needs that have to be addressed. So many different needs that have to be addressed. And they all bombard you at one time. You know, that's what's called the pressures of life. On the one hand, you're not feeling well, and those feelings press on you. The other hand, you got the pressures of work to produce and to provide money, which is in conflict with you not feeling well, because if you're not feeling well, you'd rather stay home. But making the money makes you go to work. And then you've got, you know, other things that are playing on your mind. You know, even as a Jew, you have to, you know, you want to be smart, you want to understand certain things, and that's another thing that's going on. And we have a lot of needs. And we're having trouble with our relationships, and we're having trouble with this and that and all these things. And each one is taking up a piece of your life. And quite often these pieces are conflicting with you, and you're running from one thing to the next. And that you can't seem to just stay focused. can't stay focused. This is a person who lives in the Olam HaNifrad, the world of separateness. Because everything is a separate need that's screaming at you, that's asking for attention. And therefore, what do? You go into prayer with all these separate needs, and you're using God to get what you want in life. So again, this is, again, as we were reflecting on this self-help program of The Secret, that's one of the downfalls of The Secret, where you go to this impersonalized universe and you get whatever you want. You ask whatever you want, but you're using the universe not because you like the universe. You know, you just want what you want. I want what I want, and I can ask for whatever I want. The universe will give it to me. But I don't have any relationship with the universe. I have a relationship with what I want. And you know, and it's all these different things that you want, and then they start competing with each other, and it brings a lot of stress on a person. And therefore, you're using prayer as a narcissistic tool to get what you want. A narcissistic person lives in the world of the Olam HaNifrad, the world of separateness. And that person's never happy because he's always wondering, I could do better maybe with this or with that, and why is this playing in against this? And I would just want to have a nice vacation, but I'm getting all these calls from work and I can't have this nice vacation, and then my kids are making me trouble on the vacation, and this and that, and it's you can't be happy. You're running from one thing to the next. And you're using your relationship with God as the ATM machine that gives you everything you want. You just put the card in and you get it. And you're not really developing. I don't think any of us have an intimate relationship with our ATM machines. Right? We just don't have it. And that's what prayer is being used as. And this is a person who's davening with Kavana, and he knows it's coming from Hashem. But his relationship with Hashem is not getting stronger because really it's the other thing. Is the whole reason he's really praying is because of these other things. Well, let me just finish the other side and then we'll take the questions. Let me explain the other way it should be as you see the counterpoint. And then you'll see. Now, we're not saying, you know, this is certainly better than just blabbling the words. And there's different levels here, or Shimon Esrei here. There's different levels. Most people blabble the words and don't even know what they're saying. And if you'd stop them after, I mean, what did you say to God today? You know, you're going to have to pause and think and figure what you were supposed to say. You know, if you have a conversation with your wife about the finances in the house, and somebody asks you, what did you talk to your wife about? You say, I talked about the finances of the house, because that's what you talked about. You're going to have to pause and think, right? But after Shimon Esrei, you go right after Shimon Esrei, stop there. What did you ask for? I don't know. And the truth, you're embarrassed to say, I was thinking about 15 other things while I was saying the words. Right? So that prayer is really like almost a zero. It's almost a zero. It probably is a zero. Right? But okay, you know. So certainly a better level is to have kavanah of the words you're saying. That's for sure a better level. And you were talking to Hashem. Okay, but I was just, you know, but really I want everything else. The other things are more important. And it shows itself up. You know how it plays itself out? When push comes to shove, how the person is, you know, lax in his mitzvah observance and other aspects of Jewishness, because when the physical world comes up against the spiritual world, it's the physical world that wins and gets your attention. That's where it shows up. You know, in the prayer, you say, what was so bad about that? It shows itself up when Shabbos is over and you're out the door, the second Shabbos is over. That's where it shows. It shows itself up when, you know, you skimp a little bit on the tzedakah or a lot on the tzedakah. It shows when you, you know, let your kids use unfiltered, unbridled internet, etc., etc., etc. It shows. It shows in those areas. So even though, you know, listen, it's certainly better to talk to God every day and ask for things you need than to blabble all day long. But the truth of the matter is, you haven't got yourself out of that relationship with this world as the goal. And then we talk about, well, it's nice to be inspired and have inspiring parts right now. That's good. But we got to hit the top. And now let's see what the true way should be. What's the true form that prayer should take? The soul needs to ask and demand closeness to God. That's what I'm walking into the prayer for. I don't say, oi, somebody's sick, I'm davening for that I'm davening for that. No, that's not the basis of prayer. Not to say that you don't do it, but that's not the basis. The basis is, why am I opening up the Siddur? One reason. One. Primary reason. Get close to Hashem. That's it. On every prayer that person says, here's the key lines now. And every bracha. This is so powerful, this part here. Yesh lim tzavas anekuda madua osa chesaron mafriya umarchik esa odo mikivas Hashem. When you come to every bracha that you're going to ask for something, you have to find the point in every bracha of why that the fact that I'm lacking in what I'm asking for, that lack is disturbing and distancing me from my closeness to Hashem, and that's why I'm asking for this thing, because this thing will get me closer to Hashem. And how the completeness and the fulfillment of that which is lacking is going to bring me closer to my Creator. And that's what you're supposed to be thinking about in Shemoneh Esrei. There's a big difference between the person who says, Hashem, there's a lot of bills. I need you to pay them for me. Versus, Hashem, I want to be close to you. I want to be able to think about you all the time. I wish I was on a higher level, but I'm not. But when there's a lot of bills to pay and I'm worried they're going to turn off the lights, it disturbs my ability to concentrate on you. And if you could help me with the parnasa, and I wouldn't have these pressures of the bills, I could sit and have more time to learn Torah. I wish I had more bitachon that I could do it anyway, but it's hard for me. So if you can handle the bills a little bit better for me, I could promise you I could learn more and I could think more about you. That's the only reason I'm asking you for more parnasa. That's it. That's a world of a difference, isn't it? You're saying, I really want to be close to you. I really want to be close to you. But I can't. You know, I got this pain that's killing me. And I'm thinking of the pain. The pain is giving me headaches, and I got headaches. I can't think. I can't meditate to think about you. Because I'm focused on the pain. If you'd help me with the pain, I promise you I could focus and meditate and think about you with a lot more clarity. That makes a world of difference, doesn't it? And that's what you really got to be thinking while you're saying these words, while you're saying every one of these blessings. Gaal Yisrael, save me from my problems. Don't save me from my problems so that I can relax on the beach and have my vacation. But when these problems are in my life, I've got this person who's making me crazy. And because of that, I have less time to think about you. If he wouldn't make me crazy, I could think more about you. That has to go within the simple thoughts of what you're saying. It's not dramatically deep thoughts here. But the focus and shift is always on how will this help me get closer? And there's always ways to make it get closer to Hashem. So Shelley could say, the rabbi keeps talking about I should take off Friday from work. Keeps talking I should go Friday from work, So you could say, I'd like to have God help me that I should ask my boss. I get Friday off from work. It's a good tefillah. But if you think, well, because that way I'll have a long weekend. That way if I get off on Friday. You could start it on Friday. You could start it on Friday. You're going off from Thursday night. You could say, God, I want to have less. I don't want to work so hard. Why? Because I could relax more. As opposed to if I worked less but got the same pay, how much closer I could be to you, Hashem. Right. So now that is a prayer that is getting you closer to Hashem because you're expressing. Your mom is saying, I want to be close to you. See how this would get me close to you if you would give it to me? And even if he doesn't give it to you, but you've expressed what you want in order to get closer to him. And that, by definition, gets you closer to him. And every day has different challenges, and every day you're asking for this. It's like the person who's always dreaming about that dream vacation. And he dreams about it and dreams about it and dreams about it. He gets closer to that. Can you imagine when he gets it, how excited he'll be? Right? And even if he doesn't, he keeps dreaming about it. So it's like you're dreaming about Hashem, you want Hashem, and you're walking into prayer saying, I am opening up. I am standing at my shtender. I am talking to you for 5 minutes because I want one thing, to get closer to you. And this is how I would see that this would happen. So, v'Yerushalayim ircha. You know, if we lived in Yerushalayim with a Beis HaMikdash, I know I'd be closer to you. Because when I would see the Beis HaMikdash and the miracles, it would blow me away. It would blow me away. And because we don't have Yerushalayim rebuilt, so okay, I can maybe visit it once a year. Yeah, the Kotel is inspiring, but it's not nearly as inspiring as the Beis HaMikdash would be. Right? So now this whole prayer, the way you say the simple words is expressing how you want that closeness to be stronger. And if you fulfill this request, so it's not a selfish request anymore. You created me to get close to you, and that's my desire, is to do what you want, and I want to get close to you. Now, if you would give me better pranas and better health and better brains and all these other things, you know what? I could be closer to you. And this is how I would be closer to you. And that does express your yearning to get close to God. And every time you say it, you will get closer to Hashem. Nimtza comes out. She'ein ha-mechuvan. The intent is not... It's not, the intent isn't the request to fulfill that which is lacking per se in and of itself. But what is the real intent is? Next page. Kirvas Hashem. Closeness Hashem. Shit to Yutzar Meos Hashlama. That will come out of that completeness in the area that I'm lacking. Bitsura chazu, in such a fashion, now, ha-chai brachos, 18 is chai, it's not a coincidence, the chai brachos hein achein bechina shalchayim. It is truly a level of life, because now we're dealing with life. Remember, atem hadveikim b'ashem elokeichem chayim kulchem ayom. You are all attached to God today, you are all alive. Attachment is life. So the chai prayers, it's not a coincidence they made 18 prayers, because that is life. Life is attachment to Hashem and davening. When you make these requests, that by definition is life. And you're never more alive than when you make these requests. Okay. So now, with this we understand the pasuk in Mishlei. Litava yevakesh nifrad. Nifrad, a separatist... Right? A separatist always is looking for his pleasures, his taivas, his lusts. He's always looking for his lusts. So, says the tzaddik, how does he explain the pasuk? Mace, death, hu bechina shel nifrad, is an aspect of separateness. Because that's really what it is. Avol hachayim, but life, hein bebechina shel chibur, is an aspect of connection. So now, if a person davens the 18 brachas, but if each one is a separate request, in other words, if you're the person who only looks at this world as your main thing in life, so I need a lot of different things, a lot of separate things. You know, I want to be healthy, I want to have money, I want to have this, I want to have that, I want to have that, but not any one of the others connects with the other. It's as the need comes, that's and each one is its own request. Ze hashivenu, ze slachlanu, ze rafenu. This one, you know, I want you to help me do tshuva, forgive me for my sins, I don't want to get punished, heal me. Right? Hareshi tfilasahi chas v'shom b'bechinen et perud. It's God forbid, it's a separatist prayer. You're bouncing from idea to idea. There's no cohesiveness in this prayer. There's not one central focus in this prayer. And it could be a lot of things you're requesting are contradicting each other. A lot of things you're requesting could be contradicting each other. The parnasa is gonna cost you your health. Your health is gonna cost your parnasa. I mean, you want both of them, and quite often they're contradicting each other. Yeshkan bakashas nifrados mishum shikol bracha brachi lasma. There's separate requests because each one's its own entity of a blessing. That's not the true goal of Shmoneh Esrei. But if a person is connecting to the depths of prayer, to the true understanding of freshness and renewal, to this connection to Hashem, then his prayer turns into the level of life of the 18 brachas that it gives you. Because each bracha is focused on one goal. The goal is what? Closest to Hashem. So you've spent the whole davening asking for one thing only. Closeness to Hashem. And I want you give me these things in the best way that brings you close to Hashem. And therefore, if you don't get certain things, it could be your evaluation was incorrect. And Hashem saying, you know, you could be close to me without the parnasa that you thought you're supposed to get. You say, well, it appears to me this way. And Hashem will answer you. He'll say, no, you're wrong. It's not. You know. And you can make mistakes, and it's part of the process and the give and take of this discussion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You say to Hashem, I mean, I'm exaggerating here. You say, Hashem, if I had $500,000 a year, I could serve you better. I really could, because, you know, then I could have this and that, and everything. I could focus on your Torah, and you see he ain't answering you. It ain't happening. You know, you're talking to God, and you've been doing this for weeks and weeks. Jack Canfield got answered. He got his $1 million check for asking for it. But you're not getting it. So you're going back and say, Hashem, you're not giving to me. I guess, you know, I'm making a mistake. This isn't the way it's supposed to be. I'm going to have to focus on a different aspect of Parnosa to get close to you. Maybe just, you know, if I keep my job, truth is, you know, $150,000 a year is enough. You know, I'm just happy to keep my job. And I just pray to you that I don't lose my job and that I should just keep it every day. And maybe you could do it in a way that I could spend less hours with the same amount of money. And you're shifting your request and then see if that comes true. You see? So now, but it's constantly, the focus is always one thing. What's going to get me closer to you? And that's where they're all one unified prayer, unified will. And then that person's not stressed. Because if you see it isn't coming here, you know, God's saying, so this is not going to get you closer. If they're all for one thing, closest to Hashem, then there isn't that competition, because Hashem will let it all settle in a way that works for you. But if you're just a pile of drives, a bundle of drives, you know, just looking for your selfish needs, they're always those drives. Every minute you want something else, and they're always conflicting within within themselves, and you have no peace of mind from this. Okay. Now, we open up the floor. Shelley had a hand up. I don't know if it answered it. He was the first one. Yeah.
Part, but I'd still say that the person, at least, even if he's just asking for his own selfish needs, at least he's recognizing where it's coming from.
There's no question about it.
Farther ahead than most of the people around.
I agreed. But it's still not coming close to what the prayer is supposed to, can deliver for you.
I know this one asked for the heart of the prayer service, didn't the rabbis do it so that we could ask for physical needs and give us a venue to do that? And wouldn't the Tehillim, let's say, be another way, or maybe even a superior way to get close to Hashem? Some of the words in Tehillim, if you say them and you really mean them, I think some of the words there is a vehicle to get close. And plus, when you do the mitzvahs, if you put on your tefillin, you really think you're getting engaged to Hashem, or even when you...
Certainly everything gets you. Everything gets you close to Hashem.
Isn't the best one to use to demonstrate getting close?
So the
is a way to ask for your physical requirements. Or what you think you need.
Again, we've already said that that's just the minimum. The Shmon Esrei is the minimum beachheads through the day. Number one, remember, we didn't start with these prayers. We started long ago without any set prayers, because we were able to constantly be talking to God all the time. And that is definitely the highest level. But guess what? You know, as time evolved, we it wasn't so automatic, this feeling. So we have to kind of force ourselves to know that no matter how busy you are, you've got to have these three times a day. It's like forcing a relationship in a good way. You know, again, no different than, you know, you're supposed to be talking to your wife every day. You're supposed to be giving your wife attention every day. So you made a rule that we must talk to each other three times a day. Made a rule. We don't have a choice. It has to happen. Now, there's a great benefit to that, because it forces you to do what you know you really should be doing and really want to be doing. Right? But a lot of times we're so busy, we push things off and I won't get to it today. Right? But the rabbi said, we know human nature. Human nature gets swallowed up by this world. That's the way human nature works. you're at work, it's been, you have deadlines. If there wasn't a fact that the rabbi said you must take a break from mincha, you wouldn't have mincha this day. You wouldn't. So you're right. So the best thing, and that's why you have, you know, for certain people, the best thing would be not to daven Shmoneh Esrei at all. If you're mamish at tzaddik and you're connected to Hashem every minute of the day and you're talking to mamish every second of the day while you're learning and this and that, that's why certain rabbis, they didn't daven. In the Talmud, they did not daven because they were learning. And when they were learning, they were mamish close to Hashem the whole time. They mamish didn't stop learning all day long. Didn't stop learning. They'd say, Rabbi, it's time to say the Shema. Okay, we'll take a break for Shema. Say the Shema, back to the learning. They didn't daven. They did not daven. Are they above the law? They're not above the law. They're beyond the law. They never stopped thinking of Hashem for a second. So Shmoneh Esrei will be a rude interruption. You see. So you're right. A person who really could say to him all day long, you know, and really was on that level, theoretically, wouldn't have to daven Shmoneh Esrei. But you know what? We can't fool ourselves and think we're like that. And the rabbis understood. So in theory, you are correct. That's what the Rambam says. Initially, prayer, the Doraisa, the biblical prayer, no set amount of time, no set prayers. Do it the way you should do it. And everybody has a different feeling and different emotions. And that's amazing. And there was a time when people were in touch with themselves and truly lived by this idea of Kirvas Elokim Litov. They lived by it. You don't need to be forced. If a husband and wife are so enamored with each other, you know, they, for example, when kids get engaged, so there's kinds of so certain rabbis have written certain guidelines how a chassan and kala should comport themselves with each other. Because they're not sure, you know. So they, you know, have certain rules that, you know, okay, well, everyone has a different system. Let's say it's an out-of-town shidduch. So how often should the chassan and kala speak with each other? No, you know, the boy's supposed to be learning. You know, so what's considered bittul Torah, wasting time from learning, and what's considered important to enhance the relationship? Okay, so they'll give you like an amount of time, let's say twice a week to have a long talk on the phone. Whatever, three times a week. That's not important. That's not the point. But they say this amount, you know, and make sure you do this. And the others, they're so crazy about each other, you know, that they're talking all day long to each other. You don't have to give them amounts. You give them amounts. Yeah. If husband and wife are nuts about each other, you don't need a marriage counseling. I think once a week you should go out for a date night. You know, we don't need your help. We're crazy about each other. I call her 8 times a day. Whenever we have a chance to run away, we run away with each other. Right? But most people aren't like that, right? So since most people aren't like that, we say, listen, you know what? Your marriage, I know you love her, but you don't set aside time for it. You know, we really insist. Once a week, date night. So it works the same way. You know, we don't need Shmoneh Esrei in the purest sense of the term. And when Mashiach comes, we won't be davening Shmoneh Esrei. But the fact is, we live in this world, and we're not on the level that we once were. This world rips us apart. And if we won't force you to daven, let's be honest, if you didn't have to daven Shacharis, how many of you would be here today? If you knew there's no law, you don't have... You don't have to daven Shmoneh Esrei. You don't have to. Whenever you're in the mood. So there might be a couple souls who'll be pouring in 5-6 hours a day of davening. You know, a couple souls somewhere in B'nai Brak. But nobody over here. Okay, I get another 45 minutes of sleep. Because the bodies need scream. And when they scream, they you know, that's an obligation. So we got to throw in some other obligations. So if you don't daven, you're not a good Jew. Oh, I'm a good Jew. I will daven. So now we've got you in the room. Okay, now that you're in the room, now I'm going to teach you how to daven properly. You see, you got to build that into the system. But you're right. And the truth is, though, and you're right, it should come from tefillin, it should come from this, from that. But what is the one that's the most obvious should be coming from prayer? I mean, you are asking things from Hashem. You are spending time asking things from Hashem. It should be fairly built in. Why are you asking these things from Hashem? Because these are the things that would help me get closer to you. And it's the simplest way of doing it. But you're right. That's why there's, you know, the world stands on three legs. Torah, davening, and kindness. So you got to do all three. Learning the Torah and doing what the Torah says. That's one way. Remember, there's three levels of connecting to Hashem. Thought, speech, and action. Remember, we got back to Nefesh HaChaim. Thought, speech, an action. Learning Torah is thinking. Right? Doing mitzvahs is action. So what's speech? It's davening. And more than that, if you learn the Nefesh HaChaim, he shows how davening incorporates all three. Because you have to think what you're going to say, and you have to actively move your lips, and you got all three. That's why it's so special. But you're right, but you can't ignore the thoughts. You got to be thinking of godly thoughts, and that comes from Torah. That teaches you how to think like God. You got to act godly activities. That's mitzvahs. And they're all supposed to connect you, no question about it.
I guess what I'm struggling with is, when we ask for these things, to say we're asking it so we get close, but in reality we're asking it so we can have the benefit of these things, whether it's health or money.
No, that's not the reality. The reality is, the reality is only one thing. I'm here for only one reason, to get close to Hashem. That is the reality. That is the reality. Then you know what? That's a selfish thing to do. And the truth of the matter is, it becomes very dangerous. The truth of the matter is, as much as it's better than nothing, sometimes it can be worse than nothing. What happens when you don't get the parking spot? Then you get angry at God. God, why didn't you give me the parking spot? You have to say, you know, Hashem, and this way you have to justify what you're asking for. You shouldn't ask for so many things if you can't justify it. God, I'm a selfish being. I want the parking spot because I don't want to get wet because it's raining. I don't want to have to walk another 12 feet because I'm a selfish person. You know, you better hope that God doesn't answer those prayers. You got to hope. If you say, you know, and it's hard for me to find, you know, why should you want, you know, if you're saying, Hashem, the shir is starting in 2 minutes. If I get a good parking spot, I'll be on time for the shir, and I know if I'm late for the shir, I might not catch the shir, and I'm going to the shir to get close to you, and the parking spot, and getting on time will get me close to you. That's when you ask for the parking spot. You gotta know what to ask for, and why to ask. And that's what gets you close to Hashem. Just say, Hashem, I'm a selfish person, give me my candies as I demand for them. You're lucky, be lucky if Hashem doesn't answer you. You see, and that's the problem. You know, we say, you know, at least you know Hashem is giving it to you, but it could be very dangerous. Because remember, you know, it's a questionable, what's a worse relationship? A relationship where you don't really talk to the other person, or a relationship that's strictly utilitarian? I'll leave it up to you to figure out which is worse. You know, I love my wife because she gives me all these things. What happens when God stops giving you these parking spaces? When God stops giving you this parnasa? Then you're angry. I've been asking for you. What's wrong with you? Don't you know the most important thing in this life is that I should have what I want? I thought you loved me. Right? Now that's dangerous. It could be dangerous. It can backfire on you badly when things don't work the way you want. If you come to the plate and say, Hashem, I want to be close to you, and that's the only reason why I'm asking for a parking space. The only reason why I am asking to have parnasa is because you have told me that I have to serve you, and I have a curse to fulfill, and I have to pay certain bills for mitzvahs that are required for me to do. And if he doesn't give you the parnasa, then you say, you know what? I guess you think I can get close to you without the parnasa. I'm going to have to figure out how. I'm going to have to figure out how.
So we do it to it there. We do it so we can have a safe trip, or do it so we can have a safe trip when we get there.
First of all, you're assuming, the assumption there is saying the trip is a reason to get close to Hashem. You know what? If let's say you're driving to go to a gambling casino for the weekend, you start to feel as a derech, you should head right back. So why should Hashem help me? What am I asking? What kind of selfish request? You know, I shouldn't even be going there. Go back. That's the first thing that feels a derech should say. But okay, but let's say you know, Hashem, I'm going to Chasuna. Wherever you go, this is what King David said in the Tehillim. He says, I find that wherever I end, I have all kinds of thoughts when I start my day, but at the end of the day, I always find myself back by you, Hashem. You know, Tefillas HaDerech is a building thing to say, like, why are you going where you're going? Are you going to get close to Hashem or not? So you're going for a business appointment that's out of town because I have to make a parnasa. Because without the parnasa, I can't be close to you. So Hashem, this reason is to get close to you. So if the trip is safe, I'll be able to be close to you. That's what you're asking for. Okay, Sam, you'll get the question. You'll get the question tomorrow. There's a very, very important concept here. You're ready to have a different davening today. You're ready to have a different Shmoneser today.